Hi, I'm Steve Goldstein, and this is the Friday Newscap podcast. Each week, we review the biggest stories with experts, reporters, and commentators to put the news in perspective. Here's this week's episode.
This is not new. We go through this every year. This is my ninth year here. And quite honestly, yes, we do have members every year that says, I am not voting on the budget unless I get X. And we just have to keep working through that.
There is a tax cut in here. And it's called a tax cut. We can call it any other name, sort of like a pig. We can call it any other name, but we know exactly what it is.
We're making it so that by the time if a district actually gets fined, it would have to be a very egregious situation where the district knew about the problem and didn't act to fix it, even after the first warning.
We don't go over our budget. The people in my district love me because I'm always out there. I'm talking to them. I'm solving problems for them because I'm listening to them. I'm in their backyards seeing what the problem is.
And here with us to talk about the latest, the legislature and budget negotiations and probably nothing else, are Marcus Dellartino of First Strategic and Sam Richard of Creosote Partners. Guys, welcome back. Thanks for being here.
Great to be here.
Yeah, good morning.
All right, Marcus, I'm going to go to you first because you have a little bit more experience than Mr. Richard.
Uh-oh.
So what the heck is going on down there right now?
It's just love and peace. They just really want to hug it out.
That seems to be what's happening.
You know, it's the president's right in that intro that you did. I mean, this does happen every year, and it's I don't think anybody who's been doing this for a while is shocked that things are tense right now as you get towards the end. They're in over 130 days. You know, you're near the end. You've run out of bills, and we're focusing on the budget. The reality of the matter is the budget's actually pretty good, and that's not where the fight is. The fight's over. Sort of this last-minute bill on subject matter having to do with the statute of limitations on child abusers. And Senator Boyer is very impassioned. And the bill, I'm not too sure the bill actually got its rightful place during the – it wasn't debated like a regular bill. And there's been a series of those bills that are happening late in the session. And generally when those bills aren't debated openly and transparently, it causes a lot more friction in the institution. And I think we're seeing that rooted out in these last several days.
Now, Sam, Marcus said a lot there. I want you to comment on some of it. But first of all, is it a pretty good budget that most lawmakers and the governor think is all right?
It's a loaded question.
Yes.
But I think what I would say is I think that there's a lot in here that make a lot of diverse constituencies happy. There's a lot in here that make a lot of folks unhappy. And that's usually the sign of something that has been battled out and put a lot of work into over the course of the year. And I think that it's also very indicative of the close numbers, right? You have 31-29 in the House and you have a relatively narrow margin in the Senate from a partisanship view. So the governor and legislative leaders knew that the starting point couldn't have been on the fringes from the get, right? So you had to start with something that was in the middle, and obviously Marcus alluded to some of those issues that are going to be there through the weekend or, you know, through the end of June, who knows? But I think, yeah, to button that up, I think that there's quite a lot in here that gives plenty of reason for folks to be happy, but there's also a lot that is left to be desired.
Marcus, you mentioned that, you kind of alluded to the fact that tensions are running a little high down there. How much does that play into the negotiations? Obviously, you know, we think of lawmakers, people who care about their issues, but at the end of the day, these are human beings. And if somebody says something, for example, on a microphone that they didn't know was open about somebody else, that other person might be kind of ticked at them.
Oh, yeah, it definitely has a big effect. And what you're sort of alluding to is about 7 minutes last night of what was supposed to be a closed door meeting with the Republicans that they had a hot mic. And so the mic was open, and they said a lot of things that that they really wish that they could take back. And you know, I think all of us have learned that lesson at one point in our life because we all deal with microphones a lot. So be careful. Treat them like they're always on. They didn't. And I think that there are at least a couple members that I know regret that and have publicly said, look, I was a little hot under the collar. But you can see how that causes trouble when you're trying to negotiate some of these finer things. Cooler heads will prevail at the end of the day. It might take some time to get there.
Yes, and there's been talk of maybe working tomorrow, maybe working Memorial Day Monday, maybe you alluded to working maybe through the end of June. Is this a long-term thing or a short-term thing at this point?
Well, I think the end of June thing is just that's the real actual deadline, right?
End of the fiscal
Arizona,
year.
Right. Arizona is not the federal government. We have to have a budget in place by June 30th, so that's the real deadline. The open questions are, where the pressures are for folks' vacation schedules. You know, it's graduation time, and a lot of folks are at the age where their children are graduating either from high school or college, right? So there's a lot of things that people have historically, because of the norms of the legislature, had kind of June to do those sorts of things. So if the thought is that if we don't get done this weekend, there's this really huge, like, open black hole of really difficult math to get to 16 and 31.
And that, again, goes back to the numbers you mentioned earlier.
Right.
I mean, there would be enough members, in theory, to vote on a budget, but not enough Republican members.
Correct.
Right?
Yeah. And that's really where a lot of the tension is.
I always find it somewhat humorous that we're dealing with this, you know, we got to get out of session. You don't. You actually don't. You're getting paid to do a job. And what you have to do is actually do a budget by June. And that was the most important component. But as that deals with these legislative subjects that are very important, like the statute of limitations on child abusers, this is a pretty important issue. I know I'm preaching to the choir with a bunch of dads sitting around here reading the stories that are on the front page of the paper. But my point is this. Let's get it right the first time. Don't worry about you have to get out because you're tired or it's hot. Just work the issue, calm down, figure it out, and let's do it right the first time.
Marcus, you mentioned getting paid to do a job. Apparently, lawmakers have decided on a bipartisan basis they should get paid a little bit more to do their job at the Capitol.
I was wondering when we were going there. it is bipartisan. Democrats and Republicans do agree on one thing. They want a pay increase. Shocking. The problem with this one is, one, it was introduced late in the legislative session. And by late, I mean the other day. And two, late at night, which is not, for visual purposes, not the greatest messaging. And three, had little to no debate. The House and the Senate are going to be voting on those proposals. It'll probably about, I think the math is about triple for some members, what they bring home in pay. But as you can see, I mean, it leads to this messaging point of, you guys are happy to pay yourselves more money, but, you know, what about the teachers? What about Department of Corrections employees? What about roads and infrastructure? And I can keep going on and on. And so that will play in undoubtedly during the campaign season.
Yes, Sam, optics, of course, we talk about perception being reality. In this case, something like that, when you consider how long the session is, as Marcus said, woe is us, we still have to keep doing this. It doesn't look that great to sneak in some extra cash.
Yeah, 100%. And I think that, to Marcus's point, I don't think that very many people disagree with the fact that our legislators do an important job and that they should be compensated in a manner that's fair. But this issue should have had, you know, committee hearings and the chance for the public to provide input and things like that. But, I mean, the optics are just too juicy to ignore, and legislative leadership ignored those optics.
And I think Sam and I would both be the first people to tell you these people do need a raise. Mm-hmm. There is no doubt about it. There hasn't been one for a number of years. And two, when you math out the amount of time that they actually put into that job, they're making well less than minimum wage. So to that point, they do deserve a pay increase. The problem is how we're going about doing that. And it'll be interesting because they're setting themselves up. I assume that they've had a conversation with the governor and the governor's green-lighted this. But, there is that possibility of getting a veto. And then you're sitting on the worst of all circumstances.
You mentioned that, you know, legislators, they don't get paid very much. I think it's $24,000. And they cannot adjust their actual salaries. This is a per diem thing, how much they get, you know, for meal and lodging and travel and all that kind of stuff. Obviously, the voters are the ones who have to approve or disapprove. In the case, most times it's disapprove pay increases. Do you think that this changes in any way the next time that comes up? Do you think that it becomes part of the campaign? Hey, look, you know, legislators just gave themselves more in a per diem. Why do we need to give them more pay?
I mean, I think they definitely just wrote the opposition piece for the next time that conversation comes up. And, you know, I think that there are plenty of ways to kind of have this, like, good government overhaul, you know, maybe looking at a year-long session. don't hit me. or just things like actual, you know, maybe doing something like tying a legislator's pay to the average pay of a teacher in Arizona, right? So that there's some shared incentives, some shared burden. But you can't have those types of conversations and ideas when we saw this bill that, you know, 48 hours ago that triples the per diem pay for lawmakers.
Well, but the question's predisposed that they ever had an opportunity for the voters to approve a pay increase. And I think that history has shown us that will never happen. The voters of Arizona have resoundingly, every time a pay increase comes down, have turned it down. What the legislators have said is, look, that avenue is not open to us. But we are paying more for gas. We are paying more for insurance. Housing costs at the Capitol are sky high. And that's a whole different subject to get into. But this is a mechanism, the per diem is, to actually get them some more money for those kind of costs.
Before we go to break, I wanted to bring up a couple of things, just in terms of, we've heard Senate President Karen Fann say this, that in every session there are some lawmakers who are sort of looking for one of their pet projects or something like that. One of the things that has come up that has caused some controversy, of course, is the vehicle license tax situation. And Michelle Ujanti-Rita has gotten some traction on that. Rusty Bauer, Speaker of the House, very excited to get rid of it. At what point does it become politics? At what point does it become actual compromise and actually giving into something? Because there are a lot of people who are wondering about the amount of the vehicle license tax. But then, so why eliminate it entirely? Wasn't there kind of an agreement to sort of have it halfway or something like that? Where does this become sort of, hey, we're going to do some horse trading, and then it becomes like, okay, we're going to give someone everything they want?
Well, that's part of the process, right? Whether it's politicking or horse trading or whatever you want to call it, it's part of the process. And frankly, it's what our founders intended, I think, when they set up this form of government. So, this one is interesting, and I just paid the $32 fee, so I'm a little hard.
I'm not getting that back.
Right. But it's part of a bigger problem, frankly, and that is to our infrastructure costs and our roads and how we pay for Department of Public Safety officers. And so what we're saying now is in 2 years we're going to be back trying to figure out this problem and how do we plan for our roads. And frankly, as it currently stands, there isn't enough money to go around. Gas tax is going down as we go to more fuel-efficient cars, and that's had an impact on HERF funding. So, and that impacts, you know, county roads and city roads and how those are funded too. So it all relates back to we need to have a bigger conversation about how we are going to fund roads in Arizona.
Yes, and that seems like a bigger issue that in some sense is sort of getting buried about, well, okay, you can deal with this, but then what's next?
Yeah, and I think maybe just to pull out a little bit, and of course, to what you heard in the clip at the top of all of this with President Fann saying this is how it normally happens, that is true to a certain extent. But in years past, there used to be subcommittees to the appropriations, and the entire body was involved, and a lot of these decisions were made much more out in the open, so the conversations were had for agency budgets in ways that there was input and open debate and conversation around the different levers that you can pull and the buttons that you can press to make different outcomes possible. All of those conversations happen in a room that is sometimes literally referred to as the cage, right? So there's a lot of debate happening behind closed doors, and you don't see it until the deal is baked. And I don't think that serves any purpose of having this very important conversation. We're talking about, you know, HERF funding, and if anyone is going up north for the Memorial Day weekend, you'll see why we need that VLT tax and you know, wider highways, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, and I should bring up, there is a discussion, and largely led by Representative Noel Campbell, who's the chairman of the Transportation Committee, on how we broaden our funding base on roads. He wasn't able to be successful this session, but I expect this summer he'll be putting in a lot of hard work. There are a lot of people around the table trying to figure out how to solve this.
That is Marcus Dell'Artino. Also here is Sam Richard with Mark Brody in Phoenix. I'm Steve Goldstein. We are in the midst of the Friday Newscap, which continues after this. Good morning. It's the Friday Newscap on KJZZ in Phoenix with Mark Brody. I'm Steve Goldstein. Our guest today, Sam Richard of Creosote Partners and Marcus Dell'Artino of First Strategic.
All right. So, guys, last night the House approved some of the budget bills, the less controversial ones. They were scheduled to come back at 10 o'clock this morning to continue work. I just checked the live stream. Not much going on as of this moment. The Senate floor looks entirely empty. There's some milling about on the House floor. How much latitude is there for horse trading and trying to get lawmakers on board? It seems like the positions are pretty clear in terms of what they want. Sam, how much wiggle room is there to get this done?
So I think to what we were just talking about before the break about how oftentimes the new reality is that when the budget is introduced, it's intended that that is the baked deal. There may be a handful of amendments that are oftentimes in the name of the speaker or the president, which is a signal, right? This is the agreed upon amendment language. And the time only makes that deal more tenuous. There is chaos that becomes much more of a reality when things aren't agreed to right away. So the fact that they haven't gaveled in yet is, you know, something interesting. If we get to Saturday, if we come back on Memorial Day, tensions are going to be even higher than they already are. And, you know, you can do this in 72 hours. We are now in hour 50, I think, and we're about 72 hours behind where we should be as far as where we need to be in passing and voting on budgets.
They could very well, you know, adjourn for the day and come back on Monday or Tuesday and keep going. But remember how this process works, right? The governor and the president and the speaker of the House come to an agreement, and then they bring that agreement to the members. And then the members start going through the actual document. Okay, and so at some point during their perusing of that document, they may realize that there's something in that budget that they don't like or they do want that's missing or whatever it very well may be. And so we're dealing with that circumstance right now where we've got a couple of members who said, well, I just found out that, you know, X is on page 25 of this document.
Marcus, at the risk of asking a naive question, why does this always have to go late into the night? I mean, for as many years as I covered the Capitol, it always happened, like, after midnight. You guys have been there watching the sunrise over the Capitol. Why can't they do this during normal business hours?
You know, there was once that it was not the middle of the night that I can recall.
Just once.
But it was bizarre. And frankly, that was even a more odder feeling than doing it at 2 in the morning. But really, at the end of the day, I believe that the answer is human nature. And nothing more complicated than that. It takes a little pressure in the pot to get everybody to finally come to the realization that, look, I'll compromise on this. And when it gets to be about 10 o'clock at night and you're not home, you know, you start figuring out, well, maybe it's time to sort of come to some resolution on this.
Right. And I think that you know, once you start, it's almost like Pringles, right? Like once you pop, you can't stop. And I think that that's also the pressure that leadership has in that once they really start moving on the voting of the budget, they can't adjourn. You have to stay there. And just because you have the dynamics of 60 people and all of them duly elected in their own right, they have something to say about every provision of the budget. That happens more in the minority caucus than it does in the majority caucus. But still, there is people who want to elongate the debate, elongate the discussion. And the budget isn't one bill. It's, you know, 12 to 15 bills that are each separately debated, separately voted on, and separately moved forward through the process. So that just takes a long time.
I think what's interesting about today is that there seems to be a feeling, a general sense that today is the day or tonight, late at night, they will sign you die. And I will tell you that I am not as certain. We're going to watch this game sort of play out on Twitter as we start this game called Start Your Own Room. That's been tradition for the last few days that you do on Sign You Die Day. And I think some people are starting that to sort of get the momentum going, forgetting that you've got two very passionate members in the Senate who have said, I will not vote for this budget unless. So unless something happens on that issue, we may very well be stuck today.
So do you think that they would sign you die, they'd adjourn the session without a budget, come back in a special session and do the budget separately?
Sure, that's always a possibility, or you could just leave it open and come back to work, you know, Monday or Tuesday. There's 100 ways to solve the problem. It's just sort of getting it done.
Right.
But the problems don't go away, right? So you've got to actually, because some people are going to have to put in some time and work.
And if anything, the problems get bigger, right? I mean, one of the reasons why there has been such a big push to end by this week, in fact, I was just talking to my mom, who is a teacher. Today is her last day in the classroom, right? There's been a sentiment among the leadership at the legislature that they don't want to be here when teachers are out of school, because it doesn't take a, you don't have to have a long memory to remember the 75,000 people who marched on the Capitol last year.
Well, Sam, that brings up a topic I wanted to get to. Representative Kelly Townsend, we had her on the show earlier this week talking about finding districts and instead of teachers if it comes to certain political speak in the classroom. And the one that we couldn't really agree upon was whether the political speech is determined by someone who disagrees with that political speech or not. So, and I wasn't sure her answer was necessarily that clear on this, but how big an impact, if any, has last spring's Red for Ed and some changes at the legislature in terms of the House side especially, have teachers, have educators, has the education issue really had an impact this session?
I would say 100%. I think that it has been less explicit than last year because you haven't seen, you know, thousands of red shirts camping out on the lawn every day. But their influence is felt, right? The power of those teachers and the power of the organizations behind them have really been a go-to for lawmakers, frankly, of both sides, who are, you know, making calculations of what to say and what not to say to either purposefully draw the ire or avoid the ire of the teachers. So I think that they have definitely had an impact on this session and will continue if we don't end this weekend.
And Marcus?
I'd say single-handedly the greatest factor on education funding is the economy. And I look, with all due respect to my friends in Red for Ed, they've done a fabulous job. There's no doubt about it. But I think it forgets, it leaves absent the discussion that we are here today because of this economy and there being money to invest in education, which when you look at the governor's proposal about how much money we are putting in, we're actually accelerating school construction faster than what we originally planned, which was a wonderful in its own right. But now we're accelerating that plan. So really, at the end of the day, I think the money in the coffers is what's making the biggest difference.
Well, when you talk about Kelly Townsend, she is one who has said that she will not vote on the K-12 budget bill without this provision in there. That seems like another one, just another sort of, you know, wrangling that has to happen to wrangle support for that so you can get her vote, because the count in the House is they can only lose one Republican.
Right. Yeah. So and those are the pressures, right? Like every decision to, you know, negotiate or cave to someone who says I'm not on the budget unless is a calculation made by leadership. And that's where, you know, someone said yes to Ms. Townsend. So other folks are coming to the table with their handout saying, OK, now it's my turn. And that's where some of the turmoil has led us to this morning. And I don't know what the live stream looks like now, but
they're voting on non-budget bills in the House. And it looks like it's still empty.
Yeah. Yeah.
Live update.
So yes. I'm going to invoke the word naive to join my good friend and colleague, Mr. Brody. It's 31-29 in the House now. Democrats still say they have no input on anything. Now, Marcus, is that just how it works? The majority, you got the Republican governor, Republican majority in the House or Senate, no matter how narrow, and basically Republicans want to get this done on their own.
I think that, and I bristle at because this continues to be a line that we weren't included in the discussions. Define what the inclusion is in the discussions. I know for a fact that Speaker Bowers has talked to the minority leader. I know that Speaker Bowers, just as a person, is going to have discussions with the minority party. But it sometimes the price tag is just too much. Frankly, at the end of the day. So, you know, that's what Republicans are aiming for. Look, we want a responsible budget. We want to do a lot of these good things. But at some point, the price tag gets a little too expensive to dance. There have been occasions where you've been able to pick off one or two Democrats. You know, usually the old joke is, you know, who's up on the Navajo Nation and can we, you know, talk to them about a community college or a chapter house or whatever that is, and be able to peel off a Democrat vote. That will not be a way to go about it this session, that's for sure.
Sam, wrap this up for us in about 30 seconds.
We're either done at 3 a.m. Friday morning or we'll be back talking to you late June.
Sam Richard of Creoso Partners, Marcus Dellartino for Strategic. Guys, have a good weekend. Thanks.
You too.
Thanks.
You've been listening to the Friday Newscap from KJZZ's The Show. It's an original podcast recapping the week's big stories with experts, commentators, and reporters. You can get the full show podcast at podcast.kjzz.org. If you have any questions or comments, please email us at the show@kjzz.org. I'm Steve Goldstein, and thanks for listening.